The idea for this music? Began as a strange dream more than a century ago. It's Petrushka. Russian composer Igor Stravinsky wrote it in 1911 for the famous Ballet Russe Company when he was 29 years old, making a name for himself with his groundbreaking music. It tells the story of three puppets who come to life at a holiday fair. Petrushka, a Punch and Judy-type figure in Russian folklore, the ballerina who rejects him, and the Moor who kills him. Yikes, this music traumatized our next guest when she was a young musician in college. But as we're learning in our occasional conversations with her, there's a lot about classical music that traumatizes Fran Hoffner. She writes the often colorful Classical Music with Fran column for The All and joins us again. Hi, Fran.
Hi, Robin. How you doing?
I'm good. And this time I don't blame you. Evil puppets. And how shocking was this at its premiere in 1911?
I mean, incredibly shocking. I think these are audiences who are used to ballets that sound like the Nutcracker, and this sounds nothing like the Nutcracker.
Right. You can hear the strangeness in the music. There's this. Well, Stravinsky also had Firebird Suite and then Rite of Spring, which caused riots. So where does Petrushka fall?
Petrushka falls right in the middle of both of those. Stravinsky had a lot of early success with Firebird. I think we mentioned at this point he's only 29. Mm-hmm. So for Firebird to come so early in his career, he's already very popular. And then this is sort of him. I mean, Firebird is a strange piece of music, but I think it sounds generally more traditional than Petrushka. And then to have this sort of very conceptual, weird ballet, and then go into Rite of Spring, which, as you said, caused riots. I think it was Camille Saint-Saëns who was at the premiere of Rite of Spring and walked out because he was so put off by what it sounded like.
It's just so odd now because it sounds almost traditional now as we listen even to Petrushka. But take us back, because it's interesting. I sometimes think, Fran, that we should bring a therapist into our conversations, because this music, you know, that you were learning when you were, you know, playing in college, for instance, you know, this was unsettling for you. You said it's one of the most typical pieces you played as a percussionist.
Definitely. Well, I think also just as a college percussionist, we played a lot of French classical music or a lot of Beethoven, which feels more, even more traditional than Petrushka does now. Yeah. And that's got very sort of easy rhythmic percussion parts that land on downbeats or even in the weirder pieces on the offbeats, but very sort of easy to puzzle your way through. And Petrushka had more percussion parts than I had ever seen in sort of a traditional classical piece of music. You know, you've got your xylophone and your crash cymbals and your triangle and your tambourine and your timpani and bass drum and snare. And there were only so many of us percussionists in Southwest Michigan. And these were tough parts. These weren't necessarily things that you could just learn on the fly.
Well, we've been listening to a part called The Russian Dance. Let's bring that up a little. So there's a little glissando there,
There's that little glissando that you have to nail.
And remind people, glissando, it's like stretching out a moment, but tell us more about it.
Yeah, so you're if you're a xylophonist, you're going to hit the first note of the glissando and then simply drag the mallet along the instrument. You're trying to hit every key on your way up to the top note. Glissandos can be anywhere from covering five notes to the entire span of the xylophone. And the idea is you've got to time it so that you get that first and last note right on the beat, and knowing how quickly to move your arm so that there's, you know, an equal amount of weight given to each note as you go up. There is like a weird science to it that you've got to nail. And there's two glissandos right at the start of that Russian dance. Both come in on off beats, and they're tough. You, as a percussionist playing Petrushka, I really had to go by musical cues from other instruments rather than just counting in my own head and watching the conductor.
And you say you still have almost like flashbacks.
Yeah. I mean, this was a really stressful piece to put together. I went to a school that was on trimesters. So we had 8 weeks to get Petrushka together with one rehearsal a week. I mean, I didn't go to a music college, but this was a tough piece to put in front of musicians and for us to essentially learn with like an hour a week for only so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were other pieces. I think we were doing this like very mild Debussy suite in the same concert series. And that, you know, after a rehearsal and a half, I was like, this is down. And Petrushka, I just had to listen to all quarter to get to understand it.
Well, it's not just the rhythm section. He used polytonality or bitonality, instruments playing in more than one key at once. Let's listen. Again, now it feels almost, you know, melodic.
Yeah, and even, I mean, I remember that first rehearsal thinking it sounded so wrong. I was like, someone has to have come in early. This doesn't sound right. We didn't get recordings or anything ahead of time. We found out that first rehearsal based on what was on our music stands while we were playing. So this became sort of this deep study I had to do of this piece of music to make it sound correct to me, which I think is also what was happening at the time it came out.
Yeah. Well, one of your favorite moments, we understand, a waltz after the dance of the ballerina. There's a bassoon solo. Let's listen. I love that. What do you like about that?
It's just very sweet. And the nice thing you get in a ballet, if you're not seeing it, which obviously we didn't put up the entire ballet, we just played Petrushka, is that you get instruments becoming the characters.
Yeah. The duet with the ballerina is between a snare drum and a trumpet. The ballerina is the trumpet. Let's listen. I mean, that's just fun.
Yeah, and I think it's also rare to have a trumpet portray a feminine character. The trumpet's usually very masculine, and this is almost a little bit of a like military sound to it. But I think it's just meant to express that this is not sort of a frail damsel in distress. This is a pretty decisive, powerful ballerina.
Hmm. Well, but poor Petrushka, as we mentioned, he gets offed by the Moor. But in the end, his ghost is hovering overhead? Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah. It ends on a pretty sour note.
So this is right before the Russian Revolution, right before World War I. What is Stravinsky saying?
I mean, this is sort of to harken back to folk tales. This is this sort of weird. I mean, Russia's always been caught up in this weird binary between the past and the future. And this is taking one of the most traditional forms of storytelling and folk tales and setting it to this extremely weird postmodern music. I mean, the Russians were sort of the most groundbreaking in terms of classical music at this time. And I think that's really evident that there's sort of this urgency to modernize, at least in the arts. But it just always feels new and fresh. And it sort of has transformed into this piece that I love to listen to now because I get something new out of it every single time, now that I'm not constantly sort of waiting for percussion cues.
And sweating.
Yeah.
That's Fran Hoffner. She writes The Classical Music with Fran Collin for The All. Our occasional visit with her to deconstruct a piece that's meant a lot to her, or, you know, we'll send her to the therapist couch. Fran, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And you're listening to Here and Now.